The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
and your drinking JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started tonight!
Times have changed, haven't they?
Yeah.
No progress.
I mean, what, Sharm, what if you need an emergency manicure?
It happens frequently, actually, I have to say. Especially 20,000 feet in the air. It happens a lot to me.
Oh,
hey,
no,
Shereen Ahmed.
You're not one of those people who cut their nails on the plane, are you?
God, no.
Oh,
gross.
That.
Oh, people really? That I've sat near.
Oh, it'll be jettisoned from the
yes.
exit.
No.
That's why Dubs travels with
Sorry, I'm going to try again. I'm going to try this intro again. We're joined by Shereen Ahmed, friend of the show, of course, member of the broadcast, CBC Sports. Shereen, hey, how's it going?
Hello. I'm good, thank you.
You're at a soccer center right now, actually, so it's kind of fitting up in Vaughan. No, go ahead.
I do what I can for Footy Prime, so I decided to come here. Actually, it's NSL Media Day 2, and so it's the second day of interviewing players, getting information and stories, so it's pretty fun. And it's early, so I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Otherwise, because I'm fasting, so I'm going to be a complete bitch by 2 p.m. So it's
we're glad we got you early.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I wish we were talking about specifically football-related issues, right? But sadly, it goes way beyond that right now. As you know, we have a war in the Middle East, and although perspective's really important on this thing, it does affect sport. It does affect soccer. And there's two current situations right now we want to talk to you about regarding the Iranian women's team and also the Iraqi men's team. But starting with the Iranian women's team, five players have essentially defected. They've been granted asylum by Australia. But this thing's evolving, it seems, every hour or so. What is the latest you can tell us?
So a really good friend of mine, Tracy Lee Holmes, is actually a reporter with ABC, the Australian Broadcast Corporation, and I've been following Tracy's reporting. The reason why they're in Australia, because maybe the listeners are like, why? Because right now, Asia Cup is happening, so the Asian Confederation are having their tournament for women. And so these are like a series of international friendlies leading up to next year's Women's World Cup year and qualifiers. So it's actually a really important tournament. Now, normally, Iran does quite well, meaning for like, you know, its region and stuff like this. It's not arguably the top team in that. It would be Australia. However, them being there is really important. Now, it's day 10, I believe, or 11, depending, because Australia is a day ahead of, you know, striking on to head on. And I think it's really important to understand that, because a lot of the media coming out was of the players, and even in post-game stressors, they were incredibly, well, post-game stressors, that's also probably something I could say. The whole thing, they were very distraught and they were in tears, some of the players. But what ended up happening, the reason this is so notable, is because ahead of their first match, they refused to sing the anthem. Now, I just want to point out, like, I think sometimes we have this tendency to be like, oh, this is good or this is bad. The situation is incredibly complex and has been. I've reported on Iranian like athletes before, pre-defection and post-defection. And one of the things I can say with certainty and understand is that it is perfectly normal and very plausible to dislike a regime immensely that's governing your country, but love your country. And you can also simultaneously be furious for the United States for bombing your country at the same time. So it's not the situation where, oh, the U.S. is saving us, because these narratives of U.S. saving anyone are never for the benefit of the people. They're always like, who bombs like schools to save girls? Like, that's just not a thing. And so anyways, that aside, this relates back to football, because the team didn't want to sing the anthem, and they didn't in their own protest, because as we know, even ahead of the Men's World Cup in 2022, there was huge protests erupting from like civil society. And this particular recent uprest was because of inflation. There's sanctions on Iran. They don't have access to things like global trade isn't normal in that way, like it's not consistent. So there was a lot of protest, but then you add on a combined US and Israel like striking them. So it becomes quite a mess. And in the middle, you have this women's football team that is saying that we're not going to sing the anthem because we don't stand behind the policies and practices of that regime. They were labeled as traitors by state media. Now, that's the key issue here, is that they were labeled traitors. And what happens is, it was incredible that Australia mobilized in the way it did to offer them 5 asylum. The news that I just checked, they're offering to other players as well, but those players may not take it because their families were threatened. And I think that's one of the thing that's the scariest here. It's not just easy, oh, you've been granted asylum, so move to Australia. If you're told that your family's safety and survival depends on you returning to the state where you could inevitably be penalized, that's an impossible decision to make, right? And all their surveillance is monitored. Don't forget, most delegations of nations, when they go compete, also have a security detail from that same country with them. So trying to navigate all this while there are people on the ground with them cannot be anything less than harrowing.
There's a report I just read now that there was a video of one of the players being dragged onto the team bus physically. Now, who knows what that means? Do you foresee potentially more defections?
I mean, there's certain countries in the world where defections don't necessarily surprise me, but like I can't speak for those individuals and what their circumstances are. I hope the ones that are there are safe, that their families are safe, because that's always my first concern, is what is the situation of those players and their families? And it's hard to say. And like their political leanings aside for a second, we're actually talking about the survival of players and what that looks like. Because when you represent a nation, as you all know, you become the employee of that nation. You become like, literally, you're serving society and serving your country. So it's not like their families can just hide or they don't know where they are and who they are. And of course, it's a very heavily surveilled state. So it's not like, and like airspace is closed. So like even getting back to the country, the players would fly and then have to do ground transport to re-enter. And like, I can't even imagine how hard it is. And so in terms of defections, I always anticipate defections on some level sometimes.
Very quickly here, I know you got to leave us shortly, Shireen, but on the men's side, I know Trump said he doesn't care whether Iran's at the World Cup or not. Whatever that's worth, probably not very much. Do you think there's a real reality here that they may not be at the World Cup, given what's happening now in Australia?
100%. Like, I think it's something that would definitely be considered, which is seriously unfortunate. And it shocks me that the winner of the FIFA Peace Prize would say that. I mean, I actually kind of wondered, like I did a little bit of editorializing, shocking, I know. And I was like, is the US just going to bomb every possible opponent leading up to the World Cup? Is this what's happening? Is this their strategy?
Like what group are they in? Right. Because that's the next
country.
You
should be very concerned. Right.
And I mean, in addition to the existing concerns of many countries, like whether they're global south, whether they're like West Africa, whether they're like whatever, you know, what does that look like in terms of their safety to begin with? That's a whole other, you know, Footy Prime episode. But what that looks like in implementing it, I don't know. Another thing that it's safe to say, we don't know when airspace will open. There's an Iranian Paralympian, the only one representing Iran. He wasn't able to leave to get to competition. So what that will look like in terms of safety, I know we're still like, what, 90 days ahead of the World Cup? Like, where are we now?
I think it was just 100 a few days ago.
Just 100, yeah. So something like that. Yeah, you're right. Thinking about that, and I would absolutely know and consider, and sorry, I wouldn't be surprised if they did withdraw, which would be incredibly unfortunate for their team, their country, the players, the soccer community, because in situations like this, very often, sport is the thing uplifting those populations and nations. Yeah. And, you know, having your team compete under that flag with that lifeblood of football running through you is sometimes one of the things that you live for. So it would be incredibly sad. Again, it's super complicated and I have no idea, but it's something that I'm sure is being considered for the safety of the players.
Shireen, listen, thank you so much for this. NSL Media Day, that's fun. That's sport in its purest form. So thank you for joining us and discussing this difficult topic. But as always, you put a great perspective on it. So we'll chat soon about better things, hopefully.
Yeah, fun things next time.
promise.
I'll see you later, guys. Bye, guys.
It's Shireen Ahmed, CBC Sports, and of course, the broadcast. Yeah, it's funny. When it's not funny, whenever we get Shireen on Footy Prime, it's usually over something like this, unfortunately. Broadcast, you get to see Shireen, you know, immerse herself in all things football and all its glory. And you see how knowledgeable she is. That's great. But it's a genuine concern, isn't it, at this point? And when you see millions of people on the streets of Tehran and Iran protesting against this regime, and then you see what's happening now around the world with the footballers and the sport, it does put it in perspective a little bit, doesn't it? And, you know, we're not geopolitical experts here. I'm not going to break down the pros and cons of any Middle Eastern war, obviously, because what the hell do I know?
No, wait a second. You did for CTV Morning.
You're their geopolitical expert. So what does that say about CTV? I'm not sure.
It's so difficult when you are asked by, it happens all the time, right? You know, to comment on things that are so beyond your area of expertise, thankfully. But you have to anyway, right? And it ends up a little bit of opinion. Like Shireen said, there's some editorial slipping out there. You can't really avoid it. We're a podcast too, thankfully. We can do that. Who gives a shit if you don't like what we say? I don't care. You know, come back at us with some other opinions, right? Some dissenting opinions. But politics and sport, right? Never far away from each other, are they?
Interwoven, right? You can't extricate one from the other, I think. We're like, keep politics out of sport. Sorry, it's inherently political.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would agree that it's interwoven, but even more, it's the opposite. It's like when politics doesn't enter a game somehow or a match or a sport, that's the unicorn. It's always political, from where they're playing a match to how that match ended up being played there. You know, I was doing a little research just on the World Cup, and you're like, oh, this happened in 2017, but they gave Canada the triple bid, the CONCACAF bid, Canada, US, and Mexico in 2017. But that would have been put together. They would have said, hey, 2-3 years earlier. So that would have, you know, this is happening. They would never have foreseen any of this happening at this point. Right? So.
No, you're right. You can't look that far ahead and guess that it's going to be, the brink of World War III, if you believe some people. The Iraq situation is that there you have a playoff, the men's team, a playoff against the winner of Bolivia and Suriname in Mexico later this month. They can't get out of Iraq right now. The airspace is closed off, and it could be for the next few weeks. So I think it's Graham Arnold, the Australian coach there, Craig. He's just trying to find a solution here. And saying, you know, the option might be playing a B team, guys who aren't in Iraq, which isn't fair in Iraq at all. So what do you do? He's asking FIFA for an extension. What a freaking mess. An absolute mess here. If Iran pulls out of the World Cup, then who replaces Iran? I don't know where to even begin or end here. I guess we'll find out in due course.
Yeah, it's I don't think it's over yet either as far as problems with other countries and potential World Cup appearances. It's interesting, and I have so much respect for Shireen and how she touches on subjects that, you know, that aren't particularly comfortable all the time, and she puts herself out there, rightly or wrongly. I mean, she stands by it, and most of the time, and I would say 99%, I absolutely agree with what she's doing and what she's done. She's right on many things as far as, you know, we talk about things could be right at the same time, right? I'm sure those Iranian women for that national team are not happy being that their country is being carpet bombed. And at the same time, they might not be happy with their government. These things can both be right at the same time. And it puts them in a very difficult position. I just hope that they're safe and everything works out for everybody and their families, which I'm not 100% convinced that's going to happen.
It really is a scenario where we can't even empathize. We have no clue what that's like, to know that your family could be in danger because of something that you're saying or not saying, you know, thousands of miles away. It's it's sobering. It's sad. It's sadly reality, right? Mm-hmm. Always has been the case. Anything more you want to add on that, or can we get to some fun stuff?
We can get to some fun stuff, but I think about somebody like Megan Rapinoe, who a lot of Americans hate because they think that she like rubbed Americans' noses in the fact, you know, that she was a privileged white woman protesting, taking a knee and sort of dissenting. I admire her for that and all the fight that they did on pay equity and just taking a stand. But in doing that, you're from the US. Again, you're white. You don't have to worry about the safety of your family. It's not to criticize Megan Rapinoe, but we have the luxury of being able to protest. Whereas these Iranian women, I can't even imagine, you know, to the civil disobedience, the bravery that it takes to do that, because the men did it as well. But you know that you're standing as a woman in your own country to protest the regime or to protest something there. And like what Shireen said and what Craig alluded to, is that, you know, we're talking about politics and sport being interwoven, like the love of your country can still be very real and very kind of at the front of your mind and behind these actions, but you can still protest, you know, the regime, and you can disagree with it, and both things can be true. But just how much they put themselves out there to do that, knowing that potentially their families and like the safety, their own safety could be at risk. Like it's unimaginable to me. Right. So much admiration for them, but just I can't even imagine what that would be like.
Yeah. You see those protests over there the last few months. I mean, millions of people on the streets, they love their country. They love their country. Right. And tens of thousands were killed because of that. Anyway, let's move on. I'm sure we'll be attacked by someone about something one of us said, but hey, what can you do? We're a football podcast.
Are we?
Opinions about other stuff. Sometimes. We use it as a vehicle for a variety of things.
Of course.
Thought today we had some fun, though. And listen, anything else you want to get to regarding the football world right now, go right ahead. We've got the FA Cup draw. We've got Champions League games today, of course. Big games coming up. But I thought we had some fun. And ask around the horn here to list one opinion or thought that you've had that you were too ashamed to admit to at the time. Could be football, could be sport. Really, I don't care. Whatever you want, really. So is it one of those things that deep down you had this going, this is what I really think, but no one can ever find out. Well, now's that time for people to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I like this.
Dubs, try and keep your, you know, horrible racist opinions to yourself. You know, don't go that route.
Well, if you were watching Shireen, I have to say, she looked great compared to the rest of us. We all look like we need a tan or some makeup or something. Like she had that wonderful peach hijab around mm-hmm. her.
Brings out the
it brought the color in her eyes. It does. And her, yeah. Right. And then she was right beside Dubs, who looks like you know, the ghost of Christmas.
Be careful what you say here.
Not wrong.
Jacob Marley.
That's why you should get this, Dubs. So I've got my my camera filter, right? I can go, oh God, I feel so sick. Oh. Then I can go, I've been on vacation with Jimmy for 10 days.
Right? Oh.
See how red I am now? Oh. But I think right there, that's a healthy hue, isn't it there?
That's good. Yeah, you look good.
Right there? And Jimmy needs to get his blood pressure checked.
Oh, a week later, he was redder than he was when we got back from vacation. Right. Remember that?
Yep.
JC's wearing the shades, though. He looks pretty vacationing right now.
Looks brilliant. Well,
they're not full shades. They're like half shades. I'm trying a thing because I'm developing a sty, actually.
Oh. Speaking of Jimmy.
No, that was this.
I thought you were developing a character, the 1982 pornographer.
Yeah, that too. that's just a daily thing.
Oh, well
then. Well, I was in the biz many years ago.
Yeah, as we know, right. Yeah, yeah, talent. Not director.
I don't know how much talent there was.
So anyway, yes. Yeah, so give us a thought that you know you were really ashamed to admit at the time, and probably didn't admit, sporting or otherwise. Who was a star? Wonga, you have several.
Yeah, oh, I have one, but there's a bit of recency bias around it. We've used that term a lot lately, but it's about the Winter Olympics. And I saw someone talking about it, and what I'm ashamed to admit is I really don't enjoy the Winter Olympics. what I find is it's turning into a very rich person sport. The whole Olympics, other than like cross country skiing and maybe ice skating, like these are the bobsleigh. Like these are athletes. I agree, but they're the weirdest sports. Hey, you get on a toboggan and you go down a hill and you're timed for it. Mm-hmm. I like these are rich people stuff. So someone used the term talent show for rich kids is what the Winter Olympics is. So I never said it, but I have to tell you, that's how I feel recently about, because especially with the hockey, how expensive hockey's become, how lack of access for skiers, like who could afford a ski pass unless you're loaded? Like I was telling Craig, I didn't grow up with golf clubs. I didn't grow up with downhill skis. I had, my parents said, oh, we have a field. Here's a $30 pair of cross country skis that we're all sharing. Only three out of the five of us could go. It's so fun. Cross country skiing is not fun. It's like, hey, let's go for a jog, family. You're like, this
the rich
sucks.
Are allowed to enjoy themselves too, have their things. Come on. Why are you so down on the rich? You know, they're allowed to have their sport.
You know, not down on the rich.
Is a sport of the street.
And look, know? I'm the not most just leaving
sport
it,
in the
I'm
world.
Just, Those sorry, boy I'm not athletes just leaving winter, I'm not just going this. On Winter Olympics. I'm not, because think about equestrian and like they equestrian and what's that?
Yes, charms.
That dressage. Yes, you get a gold medal for dressage. Look, dressage.
Well, dressage is ridiculous.
Yeah. And what's the other one? Modern day pentathlon. You can't do that without a gun and a horse. You literally. Would no one could afford these sports? Like Princess Anne or one of the like royalty was in dressage or equestrian, and you're like, yes, she's a top athlete. Go suck it, Olympics. Yeah. How about that? Oh,
yeah. It's a misnomer, modern pentathlon.
Anything horses at the Olympics, eventing or dressage or whatever, right? I mean, you watch that and you realize there's definitely way better horse people out there who have never been on a horse yet.
Right.
Way more talent on the streets of inner city Toronto or New York or London who have never seen a horse in their life. But I bet there'd be a much better horse rider than that guy who came from money. They're picking from a tiny pool of people. Tiny pool. Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, good. I got you on my side.
Yeah.
Well, I think does it feel good, Wonger, to get that cathartic off your chest? Okay, good.
The dressage got me going because I think it's stupid. So boring.
But there's like, you know,
gymnastics. I just catch a hoop. I've got a ribbon.
Well, even more, well, gymnastics is one of the most expensive sports. Yeah. What's the sport that you'd go, oh, the parallel on winter is figure skating, right? Mm-hmm. And that is one of the most expensive sports. Mm. Who's your coach? Ice time, all of that kind of stuff. And you're just sitting there
costumes.
Going, costumes.
For those. My nieces do dance. And my brother's like sends me the receipts or photos of them for like the latest costumes for the show. And they need like five.
Yeah.
You need to remortgage your house just to put your kids in dance.
And they wear them once. I remember Joe was in like, when she's very young. She was terrible. She admits it. In dance for like a season or whatever you call it. And we remember getting the bill for this dress and it was crazy what it cost. And she wore it bloody once and she just stood at the back looking at the instructor the entire fucking time. Crazy. Not having that.
I think maybe that's a popular opinion now.
I think you might
made my case.
So you pulled her out.
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And actually, and the horse riding.
And
yeah,
she's out that now as well.
Yes, Charles was a rich kid.
No, yeah, had to pay my mortgage somehow. So sorry, love, no more horses for you.
Yeah, all ringette.
Poor Timbit.
Yeah, ringette all the time, which isn't cheap either. It's cheaper than hockey, though, I think, but it's still not cheap.
Yeah, Charms has Joe in street ringette. It's just down the end of the street.
It's a much slower sport,
Joe.
Yeah. I used to occasionally play that with my sisters.
Oh, did you?
Because we were mostly like just jumped into the, like the regular neighborhood street hockey game. But then occasionally we'd be like, oh, like ringette ring. And it's terrible. You can't play it on cement no, or asphalt. It's light. Awful. Yeah. But we tried. We were bored.
Amazing the sports you create as kids just because you're bored. Some mm-hmm. amazing sports out of nothing. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Do kids still do that now? They've got distractions, right? I hope so. Yeah. We used to invent sports all the time, usually very physical sports, and end up getting hurt, but it was brilliant fun. Craig.
Yeah?
Give us a thought or an opinion that you were ashamed of to admit at the time.
Sticking with the Winter Olympic theme.
Oh.
United States, a country with 350 million, they never win a shooting gold medal. They're fucking terrible at shooting. Meanwhile, you got a guy from Turkey standing there, and he's just like picking him off.
No Remember problem. That badass guy?
Yes.
Wasn't even incredible. In like the traditional stance, and he's just like,
yeah,
poof, gold medal.
Yeah, he's got a t-shirt on.
And you and your thought, your point being that you would be think that it. The Americans with so many guns,
access right,
access to guns would be better oh. at it.
Yeah.
Well, again, yeah. I guess the great shooters aren't generally. Have the money to compete at that level. If they broaden the search for talent, great marksmen, the gangs of like South Central, for example, probably yeah. some fucking amazing potential gold medalists there.
Yeah, put some cross country skis on them and let's go.
Yeah, biathlon's so impressive, but it's so weird.
So impressive.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
accurate after you've been hot up a hill and a pair of skis.
Yes. But-
10,000 miles.
Yeah, the steely-eyed determination and the calmness, the focus. Well,
just, it is
just the military part of it too, right? Like it came from a military, wasn't even a sport. It was literally people defending the Arctic or like the Norwegians, the Finnish, all being able to cross-country ski with a rifle to defend themselves. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's time this now. Hey, Steve, we need to time you.
Yeah, his name is Steve.
It is unbelievable how hard they're working, and then they get to the position where they have to do their shooting. You can see them breathing so heavily,
yeah, mm-hmm.
and how they've got to get their breathing right before they take shots. It's really impressive.
Yeah,
maybe that's why Trump decided not to invade Greenland, because he had no one he could rely on who could shoot on a pair of skis.
Could that be. Would be a problem.
Mm-hmm. It would be a problem. I bet there's some goodies in Greenland. There's some people there who can ski and shoot pretty well.
Mitt to mitt combat?
Yeah, mitt to mitt.
I was like, what does that mean? Oh, I got it. One of my earliest kind of sporting heroes was Myriam Bedard. Remember Myriam Bedard, gold medal biathlon?
Yeah.
I was just captivated by her. I just thought she was so incredible. It helped that she was a Quebecer. Oh. But like just brilliant, right? And again, like it's to do the both things, like the aerobic capacity, the VO2 max, the determination to be good at cross-country skiing, but then to combine that with being able to slow your heart rate and the precision and the accuracy required to shoot at targets like that big.
So wait, do we now love the Winter Olympics?
Have we changed? I know, we're talking ourselves back into
I think Winter Olympics is much like watching someone really good play video games. That's how I feel about it now. They are skilled, they are athletic, but a lot of these are made up sports.
Athletic video gamers?
It's a skill.
But it's not athletic, though, necessarily.
No. I'm talking about Winter Olympics.
Okay.
But there are at like, I guess what I'm comparing it to is, you know, everyone. It's very watchable. There's a lot of sports that are built for watchability. But they're not. To me, I'm just kind of like, who can afford this? Who has access to it? Who are you putting here? You know, I like democratic sports, is what I like.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you made your point. And I'm not sure you were ashamed of the opinion at the time. You were pretty vocal about hating the Winter Olympics during the Winter
Olympics. No, I wasn't. Everyone was into it. I get into it a little bit.
But then the sport, right? It's hard to say broad, oh, I hate the Olympics or the Winter Olympics. It's you go by sport. I enjoyed the hockey until the final.
Yeah, but that's like, once again, you enjoy it, but then you go, oh, okay, who is representing us? And is it representing Dan Wong and his family? It's representing our country when it's, you know, the 7%ers, meaning it's like 7% of the wealth can only afford to put their kids in hockey or be in an area that supports it. You know, so I always tell my kids, be lucky that we were born in Canada, right? There's so many great things about Canada. And going back to Shireen's conversation, you know, I was thinking about that this morning, was there's things that our kids will never have to worry about that we didn't have to worry about. And yes, there's existential, but this violence and trauma and toxicity that we don't have, and that's toxicity, both mental health and actual physical health, right? Like there's trauma out there that our kids are, you know, adjacent to. And that's not the same as whenever you speak to someone who's come from violence or areas of war. So,
well,
lucky.
Said.
We're lucky.
Yeah. Very maybe well Dan said. Wong's family should try harder. That's all I get.
Play a game of Risk.
Yeah. We know what happens then. Let's not be doing
love
that.
Risk. Love it.
Just don't leave the table. Dubs.
It's not so controversial. I actually, you bringing up Ringette made me think of, so I'm just going to reframe it because it was the way that you put it to us, Charms, is that as an opinion that we originally had or a thought that we were ashamed to admit at the time. And I struggle not because I haven't had those thoughts, but maybe I've repressed them so I couldn't access them. So maybe this is just more controversial opinions or things in the past that maybe I didn't divulge. So the first one is a little bit inane, but I grew up having my mom's side, my grandma was a fabulous cook, and my granny on my dad's side was an outstanding cook and a really good baker. And she made the best apple pies. And she also made a killer strawberry rhubarb pie. Mm. My controversial opinion is that pie, and I'm not talking about Charmin's proper pies, but sweet pies are not any good.
Really? You're not a big fan of sweet pies?
You know why? Because I'm just not a big dessert person. I'm just going to put that out there. But as it pertains to pie, I'm going to stick to my guns on this. Anything that has a crust on the bottom cannot be optimal when you're comparing it to kind of top desserts because it gets soggy. And ooh, I hate a soggy pastry.
You know, no one likes a soggy bottom.
No, exactly.
As JP, she doesn't like the soggy bottom.
Yeah,
it's something that we've had to face as part of the pie business and being in the pie world, and we think we have it now that if it's cooked properly, you don't get a soggy bottom. Now the crust can't be too thick, but you have to preheat the oven. Number one, and number two, if you are concerned about a soggy bottom, put in a pan in the oven to preheat with the oven, and then you put the pie on that pan, so you're getting the heat straight away on the bottom of the pie. That'll make it nice and crispy. If it's good enough pastry, there's a lot of shite pastry out there. You can't avoid the soggy bottom, but if you have great pastry, like for example, shamanspapa.ca, you should be okay. By the way, on that note, reminded me yesterday in a conversation someone I was having, we had a complaint years ago from this woman who bought a blueberry pie from us.
Oh, right.
And she said it was the worst pie she's ever had. Blah, 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 blah. She was awful, nasty. Turns out she didn't cook it.
Didn't read the directions.
The pastry comes raw right in our pies. It's frozen, and then you bake it yourself. She had eaten it. She just thawed it and ate it. She hadn't cooked the pie. What do you say to that kind of person?
You can't control for stupid.
You can't. You can't. So I wouldn't give up on sweet pies, Dubs. No, they're not my favorite.
Your grandma just needs to know how to make pastry.
Well, you know what I'll say to that? I'll say the grand solution, and something I still very much enjoy, especially in the fall in Quebec, apples are the best. We live in an area, Mont-Saint-Hilaire, where it's a really great apple picking area, great orchards, Macintosh apples, apple crumble, my friend. So you forego the crust on the bottom and you just go for that delightful crust on the top. And just like Freddie Mercury said, soggy bottoms don't make the rock and roll go round.
I don't think Freddie minded the odd soggy bottom here and there. He was fine with it.
Yeah, or being a soggy bottom.
But yeah, no, crumble's amazing, but it has to have cream or ice cream with it.
Mm-hmm. No. Vanilla?
Yeah.
Or, yes, yeah. Vanilla or whipped cream.
Yes.
Yeah. You can't just enjoy it on its own?
Well, you can, I suppose, but so it's not quite the same.
Oh, it's delicious.
It's like a burger without ketchup. You know? Mm-hmm. So that's your, that's the, all the opinions you've had in your life. It's, that is the most controversial and the one you're most ashamed of. I don't like sweet pies.
Mm-hmm. It's for whatever reason, it's the one that came to mind. But then when Wonger was talking about the Winter Olympics and Forrest as well, and you brought up Ringette, it made me think of watching Jack, my oldest now, when he was probably maybe 9 or 10, we were waiting for his game to start. And we watched the most phenomenal young women skate before him. But they were playing Ringette. And I just thought, what a fucking waste. And listen, I grew up playing Ringette. I adored Ringette.
Yeah.
Before I was finally kind of funneled into soccer and I had to make a decision about what sport I was going to choose, it was between Ringette, basketball, and soccer. And I settled on soccer because I felt like I could always play the other sports kind of in some regard, but soccer was the one that was going to take me further. And I made the Quebec team, but I had to kind of throw in the towel. Loved it. And it brought me so much. But the sport itself, like I wish I'd been able to play hockey and to watch mm-hmm. those incredible athletes play this sport. I just felt like it looked ridiculous. And apologies to all the Ringette lovers out there.
No, I think it's a common refrain, actually, that Ringette can only take you so far, right? And there aren't that many adult teams, for example.
So why do we play Ringette? Why is that a sport? Well,
it is a fantastic sport.
No,
it's
it is, but...
But
there's no just
at some point hockey will take you a lot further. So
there's no path to professionalism in the maybe next year there'll be the professional Ringette league.
No, I think they're having difficulty training girls. They really are having difficulty getting people to try out, and they're doing a really good job doing all they can to get kids to try this sport.
Yeah, well, that's why I was unable to play hockey when I was 5 or 6. My parents wanted me to go into like a winter sport, and my brother played hockey. So I naturally wanted to do that. And at the time they were trying to grow Ringette. So I wasn't allowed to play hockey, but that's not really the way to do it. Right. So I think that even though there's no path to professionalism or to like to the NCAA or to get a scholarship, if it allows more young girls to be physically active, terrific, right? Like whatever floats your boat. Make it accessible. I mean, that's a whole other part to the conversation that we're having before about the Winter Olympics, right? Are these sports accessible and realistic? Are they within reach for the everyday population and the everyday kid? Not necessarily, but if Ringette's something that you like, go for it. But I just think like once you get to a certain point and you want to go further, then maybe there aren't very many avenues.
They call it the fastest sport on ice, right? And when you see the top players play Ringette at the highest level, it is unbelievable.
They say that about hockey too.
I know, but I love
two things can be true.
I'm not comparing the two because I'll lose that battle no matter what I say, especially in my house. But it is a great like at top speed when you see the top players and the skating is incredible. They are amazing skaters. It's pretty cool. But yeah, we're seeing that now with Joe's age group. She's going from 16s to 19s next year, and lot of her teammates aren't doing it. They just stop it. They're not playing.
Sharms, I wanted to ask Dubs, there was because I was brought up in Eastern Ontario, so we got a lot of Quebec television, and there was a Saturday morning sports show that came out of either Quebec City or Montreal that had like Ringette, les jeux de qui, so bowling, like they had
jumping.
But they had like, they literally would show the sports like teenagers. And so that was my first kind of, there's a sport called Ringette and it's on ice and it's not hockey, but it was because of Quebec. Yeah. And is that something that you remember growing up, like seeing that sport, that sports show? Or did you never watch TV?
Did you see me playing Ringette on said show, or did you see me barrel jumping on that show? Because it was called Saturday Morning Heroes, Les Héros du Samedi. Oui! And I was on it multiple times.
Were you really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yes.
There's got to be tape of that somewhere.
No, probably.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. Really white kid jumping over barrels.
Look at that. Yeah, look at that. All the white rich, boy. Oh, that's all the rich
white Quebecois kids. Yeah. Yeah,
listen, we were, I did not come from money. And we, the only reason I was able to do all that stuff is because we had a municipality that supported families and allowed us to play a multitude of things, and it didn't cost a fortune.
Well, we used to do the swap every year, my hockey year, until I was 14, and I played at a fairly high level. I couldn't afford any new anything. And because I played goalie, every team got one set of goalie pads and stuff, right? And then the kid beside me had brand new. His dad went out and bought me. So horrible, but he had the best equipment. And I'm like, this is unfair. This is when I went, oh, the world is unfair.
Yeah.
I was, you know, going to the swap to
get a helmet. How old were you then?
Like 13, 12, 13.
Okay. So I was probably that age when I started to realize it as well. But up until that point, I didn't. Like, I'm one of five kids. I got my first new pair of skates when I was 15. Everything else was either inherited from my big brother or from the ski and skate sale. All of our skis. And like we downhill skied, not because we were rich, but because our Christmas present from my granny and granddad, who's like their cottage that my granddad built, that's in terrible disrepair right now, and we've inherited it, is right by Tromelon before it was this resort.
Right.
And that was our March break. Our Christmas present was that my granny and granddad paid for us to go take lessons. And that's how I downhill skied. And we did it quite literally once a year.
Dubs also lived, her whole family lived in a refrigerator box.
No, it was a shoe. Down by the river.
Down by the river.
Yeah.
Joe's skates are secondhand. And the first owner of these skates was Natalie Spooner.
That's a flex and a name drop there.
Yeah, isn't it? No, she took some skating lessons.
Great.
And the guy that was teaching her at the facility, they had all these, I guess Natalie Spooner was involved somehow, I'm not sure, had a bunch of old skates. And now the skates that we had bought, Joe, knowing nothing about skates or skate fitting, they were like the worst skates for her. And he's like, you can't wear those. They're way too big for you. I'm like, oh, I have no idea.
Yeah.
So he goes, try these on. And they were Natalie Spooner's, and they fit like a glove. And that was 3 years ago now. She's still wearing them. They are beat to shit. But she will not get new skates. She loves these skates so much. She goes, I'll wear these forever. I think, but actually, there's like holes forming in the tongue and stuff. But it says Spooner on the bottom. It's pretty cool. And she skates just like Natalie Spooner.
It's wicked.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. JC, what's something that you're already ashamed of? Apart from your former career as a porn star.
Well, I'm not ashamed of that. Well, this is, I had a few that I was going to go with, but I think I'm going to go with this one because it is rather controversial, I would think, a little bit. Professional wrestlers in like the WWE or WWF are the best athletes / actors, well, on the planet. And hear me out. First of all, they're physically in ridiculous shape. They work every single day, sometimes multiple times a day. They have to make it up as they go along, and it's full contact. And then the storylines are so ridiculous. It's like you have to stay in character while being the most physical athletes for 20 minutes at a time. It's insanity, and every single night. So I think those guys and girls, guys and women and men, pardon me.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Who are professional wrestlers I think it's the craziest. If you to fathom that amount of one, you have to get thrown onto a floor and jump off this and that, but also you have to be acting and acting out a story. And then there's other, you're in front of 20,000 people or five people. Yeah. I was in New Brunswick. I was in New Brunswick, and there was 60 or 100 of us at the Legion watching wrestling, and these guys put together the ring and took it down. But like, it's insane the amount of punishment they put their bodies through. And for these guys and gals, it was for what, you know, maybe $100, $200. But then these ones at the highest level, you're in front of millions of people on television. thousands and thousands of people, and you're making it up as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it, yeah. So that's it. I don't know if that's
do you have a macho man? Oh yeah.
Oh yes,
that's a pretty good one.
Snap into a Slim Jim. Oh yes.
That's pretty good.
But that's you look good, at some right? of these wrestlers like John Cena, The Rock, that they've really become mm-hmm. actually, you know, huge. Respected actors to a certain point. I saw The Rock, I saw The Rock recently on The Smashing Room, it's called. I know The Smashing Machine or The Smash. Yeah. Anyway, he's freaking amazing in it.
Mm-hmm. And he plays a UFC
fighter. So
he's the highest paid actor in the world.
Is he really? But he's really very good.
And, yeah.
Not since
those guys are going to have a hard time getting old though. Their muscles, they've been roiding. They've been the sheer
and the lifestyle is brutal.
The lifestyle's horrible. Mm-hmm. The drugs they've taken just to get like mm-hmm. and just even every day taking an anti-inflammatory ruins your gut health, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's so many things that they would end up doing. I mean, we see especially in football players, like gridiron football players, offensive linemen, wrestlers, they all die at like 10 years, 15 years younger than everybody else in the world. So,
yeah. Well,
put an exclamation mark on that one.
Well, the Smashing Machine is about Mark Kerr, UFC fighter, mm-hmm. who did just that, got addicted to drugs for the pain, the constant pain he felt from the way he pushed himself. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much the story revolves around that side of him. So I recommend
Michael Jackson and Prince also.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they say. I don't know who
did
they
you
are,
divulge yours or reveal yours yet, Sharms?
No, I've got a few too, actually, but mine are kind
of course football. He does.
I'll be honest. Here's one for you. So 1990, you know, I moved to Canada, right? And it was right during the World Cup. And it's the whole England losing to Germany and Gascoigne's tears. I remember watching that in the semifinals, right? And obviously I was crying. I was so upset too. It's poor Gascoigne, this legend. Watching England play, I'm emotional to begin with, just moved to a brand new country. But part of me, a small part of me, was kind of happy that England lost. Just because the thought of England winning the World Cup and me being stuck in fucking Canada was so unbearable to me. And all my friends were so immersed in it. You know, I left midway through the World Cup. We were so like World Cup, everything, living and breathing every second. And just the thought of they're going to bloody win it and I'm stuck here. Wait till I move back there next year.
Mm.
You know, 35 years later, I'm still here. But that was something that I was pretty ashamed to admit. Mm-hmm. Much like flipping it to this year, the Leafs, you know, I'm a big Maple Leafs fan wearing a hat right now. Terrible season. Not that disappointed because the thought of having to see a potential, and listen, people will laugh at this, but the potential of some freakish Leaf run to the Stanley Cup as the World Cup's kicking off and I've got to focus on that. and the thought of having to maybe miss, I don't know, a Game 7 Stanley Cup final because I'm watching World Cup. It was like, nah, this would be a good year for the Leafs to suck this year. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, Mr. Playoffs. So here we are.
I love the selfishness and the foresight. Yeah.
What's that?
You didn't want to miss a party.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly. So there's two things I'm quite ashamed of.
So that's why they lost those Sharms, because you were not a believer.
Because of me, yeah, that's why. He wasn't the mismanagement and the awful roster construction.
No.
No, wasn't that.
You talking about England though? Like that's big of you to own up to, because a lot of people wouldn't admit that. And it makes me think, like, as an athlete, no matter what level you play at, if you're missing for whatever reason, you're injured, there is a tiny part of you, and it might be fleeting because you have like the success of the team, you want to put the team first. That usually is the overriding factor that takes over and that makes you a good teammate. But there's always that little devil on your shoulder that's like, boy, it would be so much easier if the team goes off the rails here and they can't win this game because they don't have me on the pitch. Right? Because they
nature, right?
Yes. But it's hard to admit, and as maybe part of the you know, like when you're an athlete, that doesn't get discussed, but you know that that's a commonality that you share with everybody in that locker room, that there's that little element that you kind of hope that they don't have success when you're missing.
I'm glad you admit that, because it's, if any athlete denies that, I think they're lying to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit of you, right? There's that dark passenger on your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Craig, say, when we've discussed this before with you, Craig, as a backup goalkeeper or as a number one goalkeeper, whatever you are, if that guy ahead of you has a shitty game, you don't have a long ride home, do you?
Well,
part of you?
Yeah, because, I mean, unless they make a mistake or have a bad run of form, you might not get your chance to get back in.
Mm-hmm.
So
the only time Craig didn't want to go in was that time that Shaka twinged himself, and Craig had gone out the night before, the only night he's gone out drinking.
Come on, Shaka. What are you doing, man? Jesus.
No, these are good. I want to hear from our listeners too. Just give us some thoughts, opinions you've had over the years that you are ashamed of. Maybe you've never admitted them. This is your chance. It's very cathartic to put it out there. You're a better person for it.
Plus, I don't have to watch the Winter Olympics ever again. That is amazing. I trashed them so bad. It'll be great. I just gained so many hours of my life back.
I wonder how many people watch sports because they feel obligated to. I think a lot of people. Part of their routine. And I'm sure there's certain sports that, Saturday night, I guess I got to watch this one again because I always do, or my family always does, or my friends always do. I don't really want to. I've got this great, I've got a Wendell Clark Leaf shirt, which I put on every Saturday. Don't really want to put it on. God, I'm sure lots of people are out there like that.
Who was your favorite player, Sharms?
Wendell Clark, actually. I haven't got a Wendell Clark shirt. Wendell Clark and Dougie Gilmore.
Favorite hockey player?
Growing up?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yves Saint Laurent?
Favorite. Yves probably a Hab.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had one in particular.
Kreger?
Richard Brodeur.
Oh, the goalie, King Richard.
Yeah. Vancouver, 1982, yep. Stanley Cup final.
JC?
Really?
Wayne Gregory. He played three seasons for the Kings before the other guy. Yeah. He's really good.
Is this real? Wayne Gregory.
No.
Hey, it's as real as I want it to be. And I want it to be real.
Right. You create these athletes in your mind, right?
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just
is that some guy you created on NHL 94 and Sega, and you can create your own players? Did you create Wayne Gregory? Who was really quick.
Well, actually, the best thing was there was a game. It was one of my favorite games. It was I think it was Major League Baseball or something like that for Sega Genesis. And all the names of the players were just slightly askew so that it was. Right. It'd be like,
pay copyright. That's right.
Like Rotondo Alamo instead of Roberto Alomar. Devon Black. it's pretty good. Joe Cartwright. Yeah.
Yeah. They were great. There's a great follow on X. It's NHL 94. And it's they kind of replay stuff. And I love that game. Anyway, that's it. 52 minutes in for a show that at 11 o'clock last night, we had no idea what we were doing. It's pretty good.
Love it.
Want to hear from you?
We were going to mention one or two other things and quickly if we want, but the Vancouver Whitecaps and Major League Soccer are paying out. They lost a suit because of the messy advertising. So that was quite interesting that these clubs and leagues have to go out of pocket if they are kind of bait and switching clients who are the spectators. So maybe that changes how things are marketed.
It sets quite a precedent, doesn't it?
Does it ever?
Right now, clubs will just lie and say, "No, someone's hurt, can't play. Sorry." Right?
Don't put them on the poster, maybe. Yeah.
We don't do that. How do you know?
Yeah.
How do you know?
How do you know?
So, was that it? Anything else? No?
Thank you, Shireen. Oh, yeah, there is one more thing. I just, and this is a sad note. One of our friends out there, Peter Zelenica. He lost his brother last week, and we just want to say, hey, deepest condolences, Pete. We really appreciate you reaching out to us, and so sorry about your loss, and thinking of you and your family. So,
well said, well said. All right, that's Footy Prime, and we'll be back maybe tomorrow, maybe Thursday. You'll figure it out for yourselves.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out weareFootyPrime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.